Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. Sean Pendergast.
Ellie, we were having a conversation with Ellie, and it was one of those things where I was like, this is going to look really bad in the transcripts when this comes up someday.
I know. We can't make her.
Yeah, no, but Ellie, the problem is Ellie was participating, but they would omit her part of the transcript.
She would be redacted.
And they would have my part where I was describing, she had asked, what was the Love Boat scandal in 2005?
Yeah.
And it was this scandal where the Minnesota Vikings had commissioned a boat to take a bunch of guys on the team out for a good time, and there were some perhaps ladies of the night on board, too.
Perhaps.
And things got kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah, kind of.
It got kind of... Well, anytime Fred Smoot's involved, things get crazy. But things got super crazy. Bryant McKinney was involved with even more craziness. Just look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But so as I'm describing this, I'm like, this is... We got to be careful with it. So this all came up because at the NFL draft this year, which is going to be in Las Vegas...
Right.
Wholesome is they're going to introduce the first round picks by bringing them out on a boat in front of the Bellagio.
There's going to be a boat like from the green room to the stage,
and
they're going to ride on a boat. I think the Bellagio. Yeah, I think
that's the big fountain there. Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be coming out there. So my first thought was like, gosh, the Vikings have to have Fred Smoot introduce their first round pick. They've got to make some kind of love boat
and ride on the boat with him.
Yes.
And ride on the boat with him. That would be great. I was listening to Damon and Amanda Lara before our show started on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure he shared, and I like DA. I'm sure he shares the opinion of many hosts that are like, this is too much. This is, they're using boats to carry the draft picks from the green room to the stage. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's give them a boat. Let's give them pyro. Let's let them pick what theme song they want to ride over on the little mini lake to the stage. Let's let them be WWE wrestlers. Let's turn the draft basically into the Royal Rumble. That's what it's going to be.
The Love Boat scandal from 2005, I really can't. I'll just read the first few paragraphs. This is how it all got reported. You might wonder like how...
Kids, this is going to be different than when Seth read the coffee bean.
How did a private party become public affair?
Get its own wiki page.
It was a woman called police around 9:20 p.m. to report that approximately 7 men had urinated in her yard after exiting a big shuttle bus limousine. The woman later mentioned that the men were sitting at Al and Alma's, the name of the charter cruise company that the Vikings players were later to allege to have used the party. I think there went on to be a whole lot of bunch of different acts performed at the party of all different types, but then also they kind of trashed the boat too by leaving behind all the things that happened with it.
Residue.
It was an ugly, it was a messy scene. Let's call it literally a messy scene.
Yeah.
So that was that was a big deal for a while. That was like my eighth or ninth year in the league, I remember.
It was pre-social media, so you didn't learn about scandals like that nearly as much as you might now.
It was a shame now, but as far as I remember, there weren't any acts of violence or anything. It was this crazy wild party. And unfortunately, the details of the party got out of the public, and it was a bad look for the Vikings.
That's exactly what it is.
It was a crazy wild party.
Ask yourself.
And some guys peed in a woman's yard, and that's what ended up. If they just wouldn't have peed in a woman's yard.
And other things went on that have become urban legend, which have actually been corroborated to be true. I just put it this way. Yeah, there wasn't anything illegal, although prostitution is illegal, so that might be one thing.
Right.
But in terms of violence and things like that, no, there wasn't any of that. I would just say, imagine if there were this story with the Texans. Imagine if a Love Boat story surfaced with the Texans.
This is
it'd be a gigantic PR nightmare.
And the quote I'll read is, the cleaning crew had to clean up a whole bunch of stuff.
Stuff
that you might find it's a marriage enhancement type store.
Right.
Quote was, it was just incredible how it was left. Never in the history of this group of people have they ever had anything like this, unquote. The people that ran the charter boat.
Oh, Every other charter after that felt like a piece of cake.
Let me tell you this about the Minnesota Vikings. The stories that I'd heard of the Minnesota Vikings for a good chunk of time in the 90s and on until like right up into the Love Boat incident is that they just had a particular crew of guys that could party like nobody's business. And it was just, it was kind of insane. And then they used to do this thing, this Winter Wonderland every year with old Vikings players, where they'd go up, everybody would be snowmobiling and everything. It would somewhere outside of Minneapolis, and it was an awesome time, but it got too wild.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there started being incidents every year, and they had to shut it down. But it was just them. There's something about cold weather, because it was the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I would hear stories all over the place about just these legendary feats that these dudes...
Nothing else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like old school NFL stuff, kind of like 1970s Dallas Cowboys type stuff was still going on with those two teams well into the 90s.
That's wild. Pedro Martinez was asked about Mike Fiers. Here's what he had to say.
When it comes, if you tell me that Mike Fiers is coming to my team,
mm-hmm.
and you already threw your team under the bus, the team that you used to play
for. You think the A's, his teammates with Oakland, don't like what he did? I know it, Houston. I mean, we know that.
Well, now everybody's going to know that you have a whistleblower in any other situation, too. Whatever happens in the clubhouse, it stays in the clubhouse, and Fiers broke the rules. I mean, I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree with... the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard hand on this, but at the same time, players should not be the ones dropping the whistleblower.
There's you like that music in the background, don't you?
Concentrate because of the hey-ya. You drop hey-ya in any situation in my life, baby. I'm going to start dancing.
I know.
It's the timer. My timer alert is hey-ya.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I will never, ever get sick of that song.
There's no way to separate the audio from Pedro and that music, unfortunately. Were you going to say something about Hey Ya again?
It is interesting. Like the picture he paints, I hadn't thought of it from a pure practical standpoint. Are people going to be looking at Mike Fiers as though you're like, oh, what's that you're putting in your hair? That looks pretty sticky. I'm gonna have my eye on you, fella. If you're out there, don't be trying to put the pine tar in your glove when I'm out there.
he's like a policeman.
Yeah.
He's like the kid that. The kid that was like the crossing guard in elementary school.
Because there's the whistleblower side where our guy's gonna think that he did the wrong thing, but I never thought about it moving forward. Is Mike, and this is where I don't think they would. A lot of the reports will say that pitchers had been complaining about this type of stuff, not just with the Astros, of course, but with multiple teams. I mean, I can remember talking to people in 2017 on the Astros who were paranoid about what was going on with the Red Sox and what the Red Sox were doing to steal signs. So pitchers have been paranoid about this. I mean, is it paranoia if people are actually screwing you over? It's not paranoia. They've been complaining to the league for a long time about it. And I almost wonder if Fiers had gotten to the point where he felt like, all right, well, if they're not going to do anything about it, then I'll just go public with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's fair to wonder, would there have been punishment coming from Major League Baseball if there had not been a player to put his name on it in an article?
Well,
if it was just some random rumors and rumblings, does Major League Baseball get vigilant about it? Or do they just go, that's rumors and rumblings? Like, Fiers putting his name on it and putting a face on it, I'm not a Mike Fiers fan, and I do think there's something a little... there's something uncomfortable about watching him celebrate with the team in 2017, knowing now what he did, that he got to sort of have his cake and eat it too. But I do wonder if there would have been any punishment if there it had just been sort of anonymous sources as opposed to Mike Fiers.
You know, it's interesting, and this is where you get in baseball, and especially with sticky stuff with pitchers, because there's kind of a... it's not even an unwritten rule, but in baseball, for the most part, managers aren't going to call out other pitchers unless it's something egregious, because... who knows what their own guys might be doing, and vice versa. And I think with hitters, there maybe is a little bit of the same of, all right, I don't want to call people out because people on my own team might be doing something. But those are largely individual things. I think part of what happened with the Astros was the fact that it seemed systemic and that it was actually conducted in a coordinated manner. People accept there's going to be a certain amount of cheating. They don't like cheating campaigns, I suppose. And that's where I guess maybe is one of the areas where it crossed the line. But when it comes to players speaking out against other players, it's always like, all right, well, look, maybe some of my own teammates are doing something and I don't want to screw these guys over by calling something out. And there's always a fine line you got to walk there.
Yeah. Pedro gave a solution to the problem of players, if you've got an issue with the sign stealing, here's what Pedro would do.
If you have integrity, you find ways to tell everybody in the clubhouse, hey, we might get in trouble for this. I don't want to be part of this. You call your GM, you tell them, or you call anybody that you can, or MLB or someone, and say, I don't want to be part of this. Or you tell the team, get me out of here. I don't want to be part of this. And then you show me something. But if you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left it, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you. I won't trust you because we did have that rule.
So, Pedro, to be clear here, he doesn't want you to be a tattletale or a whistleblower unless you're tattletaling to your general manager. Like, so I don't know what he's talking about here. If there's on the one side, don't tattletale on your buddies to a reporter. Okay, that's fine. But he's also advocating, you know, go tattle to the general manager. Like, they're one and the same, other than one's going to be handled in-house and one won't. I suppose... And again, you get into this hazy area of, all right, what are the unwritten rules or what's the actual acceptable? I think the one thing that struck me when I was listening I'm blanking on the old hitting coach for the Astros, Dave Hudgens, that did an interview with The Athletic, is he talked about, hey, look, I cooperated with the investigation. I think the old school mentality, I think in a lot of ways, would have been, hey, if baseball is going to try to talk to you and have you admit to something, you know, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's changed so much in the last 20 and 30 years. And I think mostly it started with the RICO laws. It started with the RICO Act that in Ma.
Bunch of rats. Nobody wants to do time no more.
It's good. People, the stigma attached to being a rat is not what it once was, probably for the betterment of society and whatnot. But I think the fact that almost everybody cooperated with that investigation is kind of just telling of where society is moving and about what your expectations are. And I think that maybe I don't think Mike Fiers is going to be viewed within baseball the same way Pedro Martinez thinks he's going to be. He's not going to be held to a 1978 standard.
I will remind you that without the mob, there would be no Sopranos. So, if you want to eradicate the mob, eradicating one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
But without the RICO Act, there would be no Sopranos
either.
That's
true.
That's kind of where that's where it gets more, there's more intrigue there because there's the backstabbing element.
Yeah, that's true.
I was talking to one of our big-time listeners who's a vice cop for Houston, was telling me about just working with drug dealers and confidential informants and everything, and about how, what it's like when sometimes, man, the guy finds out that the guy that's been informing on him is the guy he thought would never do would never ever do it. And he said they all, at some point, almost everybody cracks because it comes down to, oh, okay, my family's not going to have anybody around.
That's
or
what happened to Johnny Sack.
Yeah.
Jimmy Petrillo ratted him out.
Yeah.
Tony said, he's a sweet old guy, Jimmy Petrillo. He's a rat.
You know what our other guy told me is, ironically enough, it was before game 6 of the World Series. I was talking to him. He needs probably Lightstream right now. He's not going to cop salary and he bought game 6 tickets. But he was telling me how many of these drug dealers that he finds, they go into their home and they're living in a mansion with no furniture. Like, they're just these, 25-year-old kids in a McMansion and no furniture because they're 25. They got a kick-ass sound system and video games and everything.
That's all you need.
They never thought to decorate anything.
That's so funny. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.